Do you know that God has a great plan for your life? And do you know that He has made provisions for all that you need to fulfill His ordained plans for you? Join us as we journey into God's Word to discover and maximize our God-given destinies. Get set for radical transformation as we listen to the lead pastor, Destiny Impact Church, Pastor Demola Awoyeli, in this life-changing message. Your life will never remain the same again, in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. All right, it's good to be in church this morning. I want to welcome us to God's presence. It's a joy to be alive and to see another month entirely. This is the 8th month. We are almost in, is it 2/3 now, or 2/3 of the month? All right, the Lord has been good to us. The Lord has been faithful to us. So I want to welcome us to church. This is our first service, and it's the fast track service. Alright, you know, when the month just starts like this, whether it's on Wednesday or Sunday, when we are in church, we want to start the month with thanksgiving and impartation. And that's what we are also going to be doing in this first service. So even though it's our fast track service, I'll be doing a teaching, but I encourage that you prepare yourself to be imparted by God. Hallelujah. Then of course, your heart must be full of gratitude to the Lord who has kept you alive even till this morning. So, I'll be sharing on Becoming Employable Part 3. But while I was praying, I believe strongly in my heart that it won't be a teaching, it will be a prophetic ministrations in the name of Jesus. I said it will be a prophetic ministration in the name of Jesus. Now, why do I have to start with teaching? I've already started. The teaching is blessed already in Jesus' name. Why do I have to start with teaching? It is because it is via teaching that we enter into the prophetic. So the prophetic is not a realm in the spirit that people float about, alright? The prophetic is a reality that is an offshoot of the Word of God. 2 Peter 1 verse 19, the Bible says we have also a more sure word of prophecy. So anytime we are entering into the prophetic, it is important that we enter via the channel of the Word. So as I'll be sharing this morning, don't look at it as a teaching. Look at it as a prophecy for me and for you in Jesus' name. Because God does nothing except, alright, via the prophetic. The prophetic opens our future and we take practical steps so that we can enter into the reality of it. 3 weeks ago, God gave me that prophetic word that there are new jobs coming the way of God's people in the name of Jesus. Some of you are not employed before. You will be again fully employed in the name of Jesus. Some of you are employed, who are believing God for a better job, you will get a better job in Jesus' name. Alright, so that's the prophetic word that God gave me, and that was what spurred up this teaching. My job as a pastor is to bring scriptural teachings that will become vehicle for the conveyance of the word, the prophetic word that God has given us. So 2 Sundays ago we began with our series on becoming employable, and I'm happy with the testimonies I've got. Alright, I've got quite a number of testimonies both within and without, and then I see people saying, Pastor, this teaching blessed me and all of that. And I've seen God positioning people for good jobs. Hallelujah. I know your own is next in line in Jesus' name. I say your own is the next in the name of Jesus. So write this statement down. God is against idleness. God is against what? Idleness. God does not want people to be idle. God does not want people to be idle. That was why when God created Adam, the Bible said God gave Adam a work. God put the garden in place. You will have wondered, why did God have to put the garden in place? Couldn't God create everything the way he said, let there be this one, let there be that one, let there be that, and all of that? But God had to, alright, put the garden in place so that man can learn how to walk. Praise the Lord. And you need to understand that the reason why man has to walk is not necessarily because he needs to eat. The reason why man has to walk is because man needs to release his potential. Say potential. Say potential. I say potential. Because some of you know, if you get to places where people are hustling, they say man must survive. Alright, waiting man go eat if man no walk. Can I quickly encourage somebody today? Don't be myopic. Don't ever think that the reason why you must walk is so that you can eat. Not necessarily so. Or not primarily so. Eating is secondary. Say eating is secondary. Eating is what? The primary reason why God wants us to walk is so that we can release our what? Our potential. So I want to encourage whoever is listening to me that is working. And God says to tell you, don't depend on your work to eat. Alright? Don't look at your salary and say, as though at least I can be able to eat 3 square meals. Your life is more than 3 square meals. In fact, until God begins to make you understand that your life is beyond food and raiment. Somebody say food and raiment. But that's the gospel some people believe now. You know, Apostle Paul said, having food and raiment, let us be there with content, or something like that. Am I correct? But our life is beyond food and raiment. Our life is beyond food and raiment. Alright? So God does not need you to work to feed you. I wish I can say this one a million times. Alright? Because Jesus said, consider the lilies of the valleys. Am I correct? Consider the sparrow. He said, they toil not. Am I correct? They do not labor. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Alright? Am I saying you will not eat from your work? No, you will eat from your work, but understand that eating from your work is not the primary reason for work. This is not the primary reason for work. Sometimes I wonder how people survive. I wonder how mad people survive. I mean mentally derailed people. How many of you have wondered that before? Some mad people are more choppy than healthy people. Have you noticed that before? Say, Pastor, do you understand? So if God can be so faithful to a mad person, alright, I don't care what he's eating, whether he's eating from the dunghill or something, but God was so faithful to a mad person, or God is so faithful to mad. So mad people even live longer. Am I correct? Than healthy people. How many of you have noticed that before? They look healthier. Am I correct? They don't have health care. They eat, they drink, whatever it is they find, but they are alive, they are kicking, they are well. And I'm sure it's because they are working at the Central Bank of Nigeria. Am I correct? It's because they are in a Shell or Chevron. No. Alright? So, God will take care of you. Say, God will take care of me. I don't know why I'm starting with this, but I want you to understand that having something to eat is not the primary reason why we are working. And if you are working and you are collecting salary, don't depend on your salary. Say, I will not depend on my salary. Because your salary is not enough to take care of you. God says the just shall live by his faith. Habakkuk 2 verse 4. He didn't say the just shall live by his salary. So somebody who is working must not put his faith in his salary. Must not put his faith in his work or employer. Must put his faith in the living God. Help me open 1 Timothy 6 verse 17. Apostle Paul said, charge them that are rich in this world not to be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Alright? But let them trust in the living God who gives us how many things? All things to enjoy. Say all things to enjoy. So if I am enjoying today, who is the giver of it? God. Somebody say God. 1 Timothy 6 verse 17, he said, charge them that are rich in this world not to be high-minded, not to trust in uncertain riches, but on the living God who gives us. So God is the one that gives. Amen. God gives us how many things? All things to enjoy. Understand that God gives us all things to enjoy. We begin to appreciate verse 18, where the Bible says that they be rich in good works. Amen. That they do good and they be what? Rich in good works. And this is the reason why we are working. The reason why we are working is to do what? Is to do good. Somebody say do good. Is to do good. Not just to live or to look good. People look good, they don't do good. He said that they do good, that they be rich in what? In good works, ready to distribute or share, then willing to give to others. Alright, so this is where we walk. Ephesians 4 verse 28. Ephesians 4 verse 28, the Bible says, let him that stole steal no more. Let him that stole steal no more. But let him rather labor, working with his hands, that he may have to give to him that has need. Did you see that now? I will have thought the Bible will say, let him labor with his hand, that he can be able to afford 3 square meals. Is that what the Bible says? Hallelujah. He said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him what? Labor. Say, I will labor. Let him labor, working with his hands, that he may have to give to him that has need. So if you see your primary reason for working as having something to eat, you will not be a blessing to other people. Because God, when he was to bless Abraham, he said, I will bless you and I will make you what? A blessing. So the reason why God bless us or blesses us is so that we will not only consume it on our own personal aggrandizement, but that we might be a blessing to other people. So until you see life as an opportunity to be a blessing to people, God cannot advance you in prosperity. Hallelujah. Because if God cannot pass it through your hands, he cannot pass it to you. If God cannot pass it through you, he cannot pass it to you. So working becomes a channel via which God passes things to through us so that it can be passed on to others. And I've given us some couple of stuff for the past 2 weeks. I've taught us, I've mentioned quite a number of things. What it means to be employable, I've taught you that. You can get that in a past message. I gave you about 15 reasons why you need a job. Is it 15 now? Or 10 reasons why you need a job. Alright? I've given the difference between job and work and all of that. But very quickly, I want to teach us this morning in the part 3 of becoming employable, the kind of job that you need. You may want to write that down because that's my sharing this morning. You may want to go over the past two, because I don't have time, so I may not be able to go into that again. Part 3 of becoming employable, the kind of job that you need. That's the title or subtitle. Becoming employable, part 3, the kind of job that you what? That you need. I didn't say that you want. There is a difference between what you want and what you what? Need. Can I speak to somebody listening to me anywhere in the world? God says to tell you, don't be desperate. Say, I'm not desperate. Say, don't be what? Because desperation is what gives the devil opportunity to exploit people. Don't be desperate. Don't say, Pastor, I just want that job badly. Don't say you want it badly. Amen. Don't be what? Don't be desperate. Not every is your job. Say, not every job is my job. No, are there people in church this morning? Not every job is my job. Can I say it again? Not every job is my job. Can I say it again? Not every job is my job. Can we say it? Not every job is my job. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I told before that the devil does not start to walk until God walk. I'm going somewhere, just follow me. The devil does not start to walk until God is at work. Some of you think that the devil is very busy. The devil is not as busy as you think. In Job chapter 1, when the sons of God were gathered, the Bible says, God called on the devil and said, "Where are you coming from?" The devil said, "I've been going to and fro." Onisha, amen. He doesn't have a job. He's going to and fro. You know what he's doing going to and fro? First Peter 5 tells us that he is going to and fro seeking for whom to devour. Am I correct? So anytime the devil goes to and fro, he's seeking for an opportunity. Somebody say an opportunity. So what the devil does is that anytime a prophetic word is released, then the devil goes at work. There are two types of work the devil does on the prophetic word. Number one, he either stops the prophecy from coming to pass, or he counterfeits the prophecy. And I will explain. What does that mean? A prophetic word of new jobs, great jobs, better job has been told us. Number one, the devil will want to stop it from happening. He will start doing everything. Because that's why I tell people, when God gives you prophecy, you have got to pray. Because the kind of battle you have never experienced before, you may start experiencing it after a prophecy has been given. Did you get what I said now? The prophecy is given, God will promote you before the end of this year at your place of work. And on Monday tomorrow, you get to the office, everybody is just against you. That is the time your boss begins to knock. Alright? That's when everything just started getting somehow. Alright? A prophecy has been given, I'm going to give you a beautiful marriage. Alright? And before you know, the sister you are going to propose to suddenly tells you a no tomorrow. Because the devil does not know what to do with your life until God's prophecy goes ahead of you. Did you get what I just said now? Because the devil does not have job. So when prophecy is given, we must be awake. We must not sit down. And that's why you rather should not get prophecy than get prophecy and go and sleep. A man without a prophecy will sometimes live a smoother life than a man with a prophecy who is playing truant in the school of the Holy Ghost. You will discover that prophecy came and that's when struggle started. And you are wondering, what is the problem? Struggle started. Is it because pastor lied to us or God lied to us? Is it because maybe I didn't hear right? You had right. It's only that you never understood that a moment prophecy is released, the devil goes to work. So in the prophecy that God gives us, two types of work the devil does. Number one is that he works to frustrate that prophecy. He works to ensure that prophecy does not come to pass. The second thing the devil does is that he works, which is the reason why I'm saying what I'm saying, is that he works to fix the prophecy. And I will explain. For example, a prophecy of new jobs, better jobs, greater jobs. If you know what the devil will do, the devil can't stop you from fulfilling the prophecy. He will help you to get the prophecy done, but in the wrong way. So don't be surprised that as God has spoken to us about jobs, you will see so many jobs, but not all of them is for you. In fact, the devil in his subtlety will quickly package them, because the moment you go in the line of the devil, you will miss what God is offering. Are you following me? The moment you go in the line of the devil, you miss what God is offering. So the devil can pump out jobs. And that's why discernment is important. Do you understand? So that you won't get the one offer somewhere and say, pastor has said it, oh, glory be to God. You need to discern whether this is for me or this is not for me. So if the devil cannot stop your prophecy, he counterfeits your prophecy. Did you get what I said now? And this is where most Christians miss it. A prophecy has been given beautiful marriages before the end of this year. And that's when 10 brothers came proposing. You say, pastor, God has answered my prayer. You need to be discerning. Because the moment the prophecy of new marriages, the devil will start inspiring the wrong brother and propose to you. But any person who does not know or who is God will jump at it and say, this must be the thing that pastor spoke about. Did you get that? If we give a prophecy of financial breakthrough, don't be surprised that somebody will come and meet. We have got some deals to do together. It will give you 500k, and you check the deal. It is not godly. Hallelujah. So what am I saying this morning? Not every job is your job. Do you get that now? Not every job is your what? Is your job. So I'm sharing this morning the kind of job that you need. Kind of job that I need. Hallelujah. I'm giving you seven of them very quickly. Seven of them. How do you know the kind of job that you need? Remember, I didn't say the kind of job that you want. Amen. And then I tell somebody this morning, don't overemphasize your want above your need. Because most times, if we have lacked something for long, when something that looks like what we have lacked begins to come, we are impatient. If a brother, a sister has lacked proposal for 10 years, God forbid, since she was 25, now she is 35, amen. It is almost likely that when proposals start coming at the 11th year, you want to rush at it. Am I correct? So you have got to be extra patient in the moment when your prayers seem not to have been answered and something started coming. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll mention seven of them. Not in any particular order. Because God supply all our need, not our want. Philippians 4 verse 19. So the kind of job that I need, that you need, number one, the job that offers you growth personally and professionally. I said it's not in any particular order, so you still see some stuff that you need to also pay attention to. The kind of job that I need, number one, is a job that offers me growth personally and professionally. Any job that does not allow you to grow, that's not the kind of job that you need. Because one of the purposes of job is growth. One of the purposes of job is what? Is what? Is growth. So write the statement down. What I am learning is more important than what I am earning. Write it down. What I am learning is more important than what I am what? Earning. Did you see that? What I am what? Learning. What I am learning is more important than I am earning. What I am learning is more important than what I am what? Earning. So people go after earning. But earnings. But God said we should go after learning. Somebody say learning. So how do I know that this job is the right one for me? One of the markers is that it must offer you growth, both personally but professionally. By personal, I mean that you must get better personally. You must get better spiritually. You must get better mentally. You must get better in relating with people. You must get better personally. After being on the job for 3 months, you should be able to tell yourself, no, a lot of things have changed about me. Mean that I could not face people before, now I can face people because of this job. Do you understand? Mean that I cannot work under pressure before. I normally cry and wither under pressure. But now, this job is a demanding job, but I thank God I can withstand pressure. Do you understand? It must offer you growth personally, and it must also offer you growth professionally. And that is the problem that an average Nigerian youth is facing today. Most of the jobs that Nigerian youth get today is not helping them professionally. So you can be on a job 10 years, and you have retrogressed 10 years professionally. So the longer you stay on some jobs, the more unfortunate you will be for the next job. Do you understand? Another problem? Praise God. You know, it's not growing you professionally. It's a kind of job that when you move away from that job, you can't recollect any skill that you learn that will be applicable to where else you are going. Is it your family job, professional growth? Hallelujah. The company I worked before I came to Lagos, I came to Akure, that company offers growth, at least to a very large extent in the professional world. In fact, if you leave that company and you apply for maybe a work at maybe MTN and all these big companies, you are likely to be employed. Why? Because your stay in that company has exposed you. Alright? It's a company that do business with major companies. Do you understand? Or that does business with major companies. So wherever you might likely work tomorrow, they are already relating with that company today. So when they see your CV that you work with a company, you are hotcake for them. Do you understand? Why? Because they know that you are being trained professionally. Number two, because of time. The job that you need is the kind of job that gives you... Now, you can translate this to anything it is you are doing. Because some of you are saying, Pastor, but me, I'm not the type looking for a job as you are shouting, job. Alright? The kind of atmosphere you need is the atmosphere of growth. That's why it's good you are in DIC. Amen. You know, when I left our former ministry, maybe while I was still here, I'm still thinking that, you know, there are some churches you go to. I'm called. I have God's grace upon me. But, you know, but if I go to some churches, maybe as a member, I may not near pulpit for months. Not because I don't have grace, but there's no opportunity for me. Am I correct? Some of you also know that. There are some of you that come here to sing, that if you go to another church, you may not smell pulpit for forever. Not because you cannot sing. So the kind of church, the kind of atmosphere, the kind of relationship you need, the kind of engagement you need is that will offer you growth. Did you get that? Number two, it gives you wider opportunity. It's not the kind of job that cage or limits you. It's not the kind of job that cage or limits you. The reason why a lot of people run away from bank jobs, I'm not against bank job. From my interaction with bankers, most of what they do there limits or cage some of them. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So most banker lady, by the time they are 28, 29, and they don't have who to marry, they begin to say, what's the problem? Because from age 28, 22 to 28, she goes, she says, in the morning, come back 9 p.m., he's behind the counter. Amen. Counter is even good. Some people come out to withdraw. Sometimes she's in the back room. Amen. The only relationship she has is with notes. Dirty notes, mint, and all of that. They are 28, 29, 30. Reality begins to dawn on them. Is that the time I left this job? Alright, so you need to ask yourself, do I have wider opportunity? Alright, does it cage me? Does it limit me? And all of that. And you can check that in the type of atmosphere and environment, number one. You can check that in the kind of job. There are some jobs that are monotonous. Am I correct? Doing almost this, one of my friends got a job in a very big company. I was happy for him. If his testimony became my testimony, got a job immediately. He finished serving, and did him very well. But after 1 to 2 months, I said, "Guy, how far?" I said, "I don't tire for this. I'm tired for waiting. The job that everybody is praying to get, you get that job, and in 2-3 months, you say you are tired." He said, "We are only doing the same thing." Very monotonous. I know some of us are good at monotonous activity. But in most cases, monotonous activities do not grow you. Because you grow by new challenge. Am I correct? And can I encourage somebody who is in a monotonous activity? You can reinvent your work. You can look for a better way of doing the same thing that you keep doing every day. Because some of you cannot help it. Alright, maybe you are a secretary, you are a tech. Now, if you are a front desk officer, it appears monotonous. When people come visit, they say, "You are welcome, sir," or "How may I help you?" Maybe they log in their arrival time of whoever they are visiting on the logbook. Alright, you make a phone call to the whichever department that they want to see. So that's what you do almost every now and then, but you can reinvent it. You can do something different, even though it will still fulfill the main reason why you are asked to work there. Alright? So you can reinvent. Alright? But if you have opportunity to get out of a monotonous, because monotonous atmosphere kills potential. I'm telling you. No opportunity, it cages you, it limits you, you can't try new things. And can I quickly say on the other side, for people who are in a job that is always requiring them to learn something new, you are in the best job ever. Did you get that now? You are in the best job ever. There are challenges, there are stuff that You don't know. You just have to learn. So while your mates are happy that you are just like, okay, I want to go and learn this one. I faced a challenge yesterday. I need to go and learn it and all of that. It helps. Number three. This one you will like it. It's a job with reasonable pay. Amen. Say, Pastor, now you are talking. Not this one that the job that offered me growth. Say, growth, like a journey. Amen. Is it growth? We are going to it. The job that what? The job with what? With a reasonable pay. And I use our reasonable pay deliberately. You know, it is the job with a high pay. Alright? So the question is that what pay is reasonable for you? Maybe I would define it to help somebody. Because maybe if I don't define it, some of you might say, let me tell you a job that is a reasonable pay for you. Did you see that? Number one, you may not want to write it down. You can just put this up in your mind. What is a job with a reasonable pay for you? Number one, a job that can take care of your transportation. All right, take care of your basic daily needs and all of that. Then number three, a job that can afford you to save no matter how little it is. And this is a job whose salary is 50K. Some people want 150,000 salary is not a reasonable pay for them. It's not reasonable. So why you want to kill yourself over 150K? They say, no, Vimi goes 150. Because they have looked at it. So it must be with a reasonable pay. And that will also tell us that you must not be overly unrealistic. Do you understand? Even though we are prophetically declaring good jobs, even though we are believing God for all of us that we're going to get good job, good, better paying job, but don't be unrealistic. Alright? Don't be unrealistic. Don't set financial target or salary target that is reasonable. Even to yourself. That if you are the one who is to employ, can you pay that kind of money? I remember the former place I work, what my employer will always told us. Because the reason why some people fall for a kind of job that they are owing them salaries because they jump at the high pay without understanding, they can sustain it. So my boss used to tell us, engineers, can pay you times three of what I'm paying you now, but I don't want to pay you a salary I cannot sustain. So in that industry, we are about one of the very few people with salary. Don't think that all those people who are not in Thai going to Ireland, none of them is collecting salary every month. I'm telling you, I'm talking from experience because we have some of them coming to work in our office. Them of them complain for the past 3 months, they've not paid them. Amen. So I guess you are envying them. That's why you are wondering that they are working in social society, they are borrowing money. I'm talking from experience. So my boss used to tell us, say, guy, I can pay you times four, but I don't want to put you on a salary I cannot sustain. So my boss was realistic, but he gave us a salary that can take care of us and can at least we'll be fine. Do you understand? So don't be overly unrealistic. Don't build castle in the air. Alright. Praise God. Then you might have to define what reasonable pay is to you. You know, I said to somebody 150K is not reasonable. To somebody 15K might be reasonable. I said might. Amen. I know they are not here in Jesus' name. Are they here? Say, Pastor, 15K. What you are looking for is more than 15K. You know, hallelujah. But you know, just define what is reasonable for you. Number four. It's a job that does not violate your personal integrity. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. The Bible says Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not what? Defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. And the way I saw it is the fact that Daniel could afford to lose his job than to bow to the immorality or the wickedness, the ungodliness that was in that land. It must not violate your personal integrity. Your integrity is capital. Say it's capital. Integrity is more than what we get today. So any job
that violate your personal integrity. Example, a job that you have to buy. See, that's not the kind of job that you need. Say, Pastor, it is just small lie. There is no small lie. A job that you have to change figures. A job you have to package a substandard product, alright, for the price of the best product. It's not the kind of job that you need. Hallelujah. A job that puts a question on your morality as a lady, that's not the kind of job that you need. A job that before you get it, you must warm the bed of one of the interviewers or one of your guys at the top, my sister, run away from that job. But say, Pastor, I've been looking for jobs since 1929. Don't worry, God will give you your own job. It's amazing. See, Christians compromise their integrity because of their desperation for job. You will be surprised. I'm telling you. It is not everybody that comes to altar, every whatever, to say, come and join me, sing hallelujah, Jehovah Jireh has done me where God has done it. Some of them is but one power that did it. Amen. Amen. Say, what I need, the Holy Ghost power. Not one power. Amen. Say, I need Bible power. No but one power. Praise the Lord. So it must not violate your... Now, don't think that you understand what I'm saying. Because for every one of us, we always get to that juncture. Or for most of us, we are questioned about integrity, Christian integrity. Imagine us, the wife of the boss of Joseph, coming to meet Joseph and say, guy, can you help me put cream on my back? Amen. Praise the Lord. And don't worry, I'll give you promotion. And Joseph said, how can I do this wicked thing and sin against God? So to Joseph, it's not even about sinning against the husband. It was about sinning against what God. And can I quickly ask somebody this morning, do you have personal integrity? Because if you don't have integrity, you cannot even know what is right and what is wrong. And this was in business also. Somebody can come and transact a product of 15,000 and he said you should put 25,000 there. You know it happens. Some of us say, okay, move it. You get something you can do. Say me, I know they do this kind of thing. But you say, but so it's not me. Now is it? Mm-mm. You are an accomplice in crime. Tell the person I can. Me, we don't do that here. You know it happens. Whether in business, in career, even in ministry. The kind of growth that a person like me needs is not a growth that will violate my personal integrity. Do you see that now? Do you see that now? Somebody is carrying sugar daddy and he says, Pastor, don't worry, I will invite him to church. It's not about inviting him to church. Stop that sugar daddy business. Amen. Because some people know sugar daddy is a business. A small girl, big God. Is it big God, big daddy? You know what they call big God? It's a big... small letter D-O-D. It's not Jehovah God. Hallelujah. So it must not. So, do you have a personal integrity? What is your sense of rightness and wrong? Or sense of right and wrong? Because you define that for yourself, you can do it for the time. What I'm trying to say. What is your. For example, when I was working in my company, I used to be in charge of. Among the general work, I used to be in charge of power. Alright, so I mean, apart from general telecoms work, they give everybody specific duty that you are going to be the one in, and it's a big complex, we have machines and all of that. So they supply diesel, alright, to power a generator. But I'm not in charge of finance, so there's a finance guy that releases the money and all of that. But I discovered that I started playing whatever with the generator people. They start overpaying them and collecting some kickbacks, started buying some standard products, they supply diesel lesser than the quantity that they do. You understand? You know what he will do? He will come to the engineering department and give all those guys money. Say, Pastor Demola, say, I know they take this kind of money. And it's huge. Sometimes 5K for as many engineers as possible. You understand? Say 5K, say me, I know they take. But then at the day that we began to have problems with our power system, nobody could dare talk about me. All of them that were part of those whatever, they couldn't talk. Even if something like that was never going to be exposed, my own integrity with God matters. Hallelujah. My own integrity with God matters. Any help that we violate my personal integrity is not the help that I need. Student too may also have to understand that when I was doing biology in SS3, WAEC, biology is one of my favorite subjects in course. I had thesis in biology, WAEC, to tell you how good I was at biology. That was the last time I touched biology. Hallelujah. About 18 years ago. That was the last time I touched biology. You know, what I'm saying is that what is your own definition of rightness and wrongness? That's what I'm saying. Do you have personal integrity? The biology, the invigilator, who was a senior teacher, she has gone to be with the Lord now, I believe, who is a senior, an HOD in that school. Alright, say, Demon, and she used to attend our church. The church I was attending, then she was a woman leader. Amen. He said, Demola, is it? Don't worry, I'm coming. And she went to the staff room. I'm serious. And she went and brought expo for me. Can you imagine if your invigilator is giving you expo? Who will catch you? And it was a subject I was very good at, in quotes. I could have been under pressure because sincerely, it was only God who saved me for biology that year. I got an expo that I didn't ask for. Number two, I got an expo that was given by the invigilator herself. But I said, Mommy, no, am I worried? I'm fine. But I was not fine, sincerely. Well, he said, I'm fine. Somebody can want to talk money into your pocket. Don't worry, I'm fine. But you know you are not fine. Am I correct? You know your body's cream is finished as a lady. Praise God. You know your pep, the last was the one you managed to rob before you went to office. But tell that Oga, I am fine. So I told her I'm fine. I know that day she began to have a special respect for me. I was a teenager, maybe 18 or thereabout. Very young boy. So I already knew a sense of rightness and wrongness. Because all of you know what is right and wrong is circumstantial. No. It's not circumstantial that determines what is right. It is the Bible that determines what is right and wrong. And it is how much of the Word of God you know, how much of your work with the Holy Spirit that you have in place. Praise God. Let me give you three more, then a round up. Are you getting something? Alright, number five. It does not affect your Christian faith and church commitment. Say, Pastor, you have heard this church thing. You hear me? I will say it now. It does not affect your what? Your Christian faith and church commitment. What do I mean by Christian faith? Can I say it very quickly? Any job that causes you to reduce spiritually. But maybe on the flip side, I will encourage that we prepare for a job. Because what I want us to say is that any job whose atmosphere dulls you. You know, you can be in a company that is very demonic. As in, the atmosphere is tickly. I'm serious. So, as long as you are believing God for that, some atmosphere that this one, nobody may go work in this kind of place. That they greet each other with a holy hug. Is it holy hug? You can sense everywhere, every Friday night. You know what happens? Alright? So you discover that when you enter that kind of job, you are reducing spiritually. You begin to tolerate sin. It affects your prayer life. You can't pray. When you want to talk about nobody to even gist with on spiritual things. That's on the flip side. That's on one side. On the flip side is that you should also prepare yourself to work in any kind of environment. That's a higher level now. You pray yourself that even if you are working for an occult, you are still going to stand. Did you get that? I can't know the pastor will tell you that you have to run away. There are some atmosphere you have to penetrate for Jesus. But before you do that, make sure you are grounded. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I knew they work with a Christian board. Did they work with a Christian board? No. They work with an occult. They work in a complete place that everybody, there's a ritual that everybody must submit to. Am I correct? But there was something, there was a strength in them that helped them to stand. But if you know you can't stand, if you know this job is affecting your Christian faith, then let me say it in this way. If you know that this job is not allowing you time to concentrate on God and spiritual things, that's not the kind of job you need. Because you must not trade your work with God for job. Are you following me now? You must not trade your work with God for job. That since the day you got that job, you can't remember when last you prayed for 30 minutes again. Do you think God is an author of confusion? How can God give me a job? It could be that you don't know how to master the dynamics of the job life. If that is the problem, then learn how to master the dynamics. But if the problem is that somewhere you are just going down, that's not the kind of job that you need. Praise the Lord. So the kind of job that affects your Christian faith and church commitment. And I will teach you two things on that church commitment. Number one, don't get a job that will make you absent in church. Or consistently absent in church. Say, Pastor, what if I get a job on the offshore? That will go 2 weeks. That will be something understandable now. If I get a job as a nurse, that I have to go on shift sometimes on Sunday mornings, I'm at work. That's understandable. Do you get that one now? Huh? But not the normal regular job. That is, do you understand? That the day you got that job, Sunday, even Sunday, say, we asked, bro, we didn't see you again. Say, are you sure you don't want me? It's this job. You know, when pastors talk sometimes, you know what we used to say? We say sometimes we pray that church members should get breakthrough. Get breakthrough. It's beginning to affect their... Yes! that's one, whatever that pastors will forever face. So we now pray, for example, we try and go for breakthrough for our members. A lot of them are out of country. So, to me now, it looks like a reduction. But you know, as a pastor, my joy is your progress. Do you understand? Do you understand? Even as you are praying, get a job. Some of you will get a job that, if we don't watch it, it will affect your commitment. Alright? So, you must know how to balance that. When you are on the interview, they tell you that this job, Monday to Saturday, and sometimes, you may have to be required to be in the office on Sunday. If you hear that clause, you better probe very well. If they say sometimes, it's not sometimes, so they didn't just want to tell you point blank. Amen. I said amen. So sometimes, and lo and behold, 7:30 a.m. you are knotting your tie to start getting to church and you receive a call. Mr. Demola, report at the office now. Okay, report. Call pastor and say, Pastor, I'm sorry, I got an emergency call. But if it becomes a regular occurrence, my brother, that is not the job you need. Amen. I said amen. And that's why before you jump at any job, there's what we call offer letter. Offer letter. Because that's one thing that most employees don't do today again. They don't give people offer letter. I can now encourage you, if you are to get a job, ask for offer letter. It doesn't matter the kind of job. Somebody say, come and become my personal assistant. Ask for an offer letter. Call an offer letter. It's a letter that will detail the terms of employment. Am I correct? They will state the number of days or weeks in the year that you are entitled to a leave. They will put some clauses. Because the offer letter becomes the legal document that dictates the kind of arrangement that you have with them. And anything in the offer letter that does not sit well with you, you better clarify it. But you know, when people are desperate for job, they don't even ask for all those. They say, Akasha, or start that. And 3 months, 4 months, no offer letter, and they are making some demands on you that does not sit well. I'm not asking you to be lazy, don't get me wrong, but I'm saying ensure that it's a job. For example, the telecoms job I was working at in Lagos was a shift job. So we work 24/7, 365 days. Do you understand? Do you understand? Do you understand? Obviously, I didn't know really that was the way they do it. But as God will have it, God favored me. I had to go and meet them and say, me, I'm a pastor. Sunday morning, I will not come. So if you want to push shift, I don't mind. They'll put me Sunday evening. I'm not even every Sunday evening. Sunday evening, sometimes I have pastor's meeting. I have some meetings. I say, third Sunday, so Sunday. I make demand. Amen. Friday night, sometimes I go, but most Friday night, I have a VG. Do you understand? Say, Pastor, that is me. I asked and it was given to me. Christmas service. I am a pastor. Some people were waiting for me in church on Christmas Day. I have to do Christmas service. Watch night service. I didn't do any watch night in the work. I do it in church. I did it in church. Do you understand? Praise the Lord. The second thing I want to say about not affecting your church commitment. Can I teach you this, folks? Let me teach you this very quickly. If you want to get an accommodation,
And you are to choose between proximity to church and workplace. Can I encourage that you choose proximity to church, not to work? 1, 2, if you can get an equidistance, something like that. That means, if you cannot, don't choose proximity to work, proximity to church. Do you know what you will say? But pastor, I go to job Monday to Friday. I only come to church maybe twice in the week. The reason why you need to choose proximity to work, to church above that of work, is that most times you don't need any motivation to go to work. Am I right? No matter how far your house is to work, you will go. Am I correct? But brother, if your house is far from church, you need some level of maturity to always keep coming to church. So the wisdom we give members as pastors is that don't choose a job, a accommodation that is closer to your work than to church. Except if you can maintain balance. Do you understand? The last one as we pray. Is somebody getting something this morning? Say, pastor, this is your message. You get as it be. I say, Nana, so we say, amen. Number 6. Ask yourself this question. Is this job, okay, the kind of job you need is the job of the now and the future. Not a job that is fizzling out or going into extinction. The job of the now and the future. There are some jobs that is a couple of whatever. For example, you need to study trends. Economic trend, political trend. Do you understand? Do you understand? Study economic. For example, now if we are in a company, a country where they want to phase out automobile engines. We start using electric cars, and you get a job in the annoying whatever. It's not a job of tomorrow. Though Nigeria is far from that, we are still using maybe to tomorrow. We are still using gas powered car. So you need to ask yourself: will this job still be available in some couple of time to come? Do you understand? So you need to ask that: where is the direction of this job, this kind of industry? Where is the direction of this kind of industry? So if a job that in the next 5 years, it may not exist again. For example, somebody says, I need you to manage a cyber cafe for me. That's not the kind of job you need. Because cyber cafe, even now, it's almost going into... How many of you have gone to cyber cafe in recent time? But before, it used to be, wow, cyber cafe. And for business people too, you don't need to, you can't invest in cyber cafe again. Am I correct? Because whatever data period season we are in has made it to go into extinction. The last but not the least is that the kind of job you need is the kind of job that God says you should do. So I need to ask you a question. What is God saying? What is God doing? What? I put that as number last because it is very important. The number 2 because I don't want you to forget. There are some jobs that everything appears perfect, but yet you don't have a rest in your heart about it. Did you see that now? Everything appears what? Perfect. Salary, mouth watering. Do you understand? Everything appears perfect, but the more you pray about it, that's why I want to encourage you before you get to any job, take time to pray. We are still Christians, aren't we? Aren't we? We are not driven by our lack or need. We are driven by the Holy Spirit. Am I correct? We are led by the Holy Spirit. To pray about what is God saying. I know you can get a kind of job that doesn't look like it. It doesn't violate your Christian faith anyway, but the salary isn't. But the more you pray about it, the more you have a rest. You never can tell. That job may be your connection to the job you really desire. So don't forget that. Ask God. God, okay, what are you saying? Lord, this job offer, what is it for me? Is it a kind of job you want me to do? And you know, everybody must master the way God speaks. Sometimes you have a rest about it. Am I correct? Sometimes you just lost your peace. Sometimes you step into that company and for the first 1 week, you were not at rest. Bro, jet out. Check that kind of job. So ask yourself, what is God saying? The kind of business that you also need to engage in is a business you are going to ask yourself, what is God saying? Let's be on our feet this morning. So what is God saying is not only for pastors. Alright? It's not only for pastors. God forbid that you get a job. You know, somebody can be in a job that paying him 25,000 and he get another job of 75k offer. Our brain says resign from 25k job, go and do 75k job. But the Holy Spirit says, my son, even though this 75k is times 3 of 25k, still stay in 25k. Because I've had people join in a company that is paying higher and that company folded up and they are jobless. Or they joined a company paying higher and they got, you know, sacked after a year or some couple of months and they are now looking for a job again. So our security is in God. Hallelujah. God is the one that knows what the future holds. Do you understand? God is the one that knows the kind of job that will do you good. One of my brothers, when banks were still banks, got a very fantastic job at the then Intercontinental Bank. As a fresh graduate, they were paying him maybe over 200,000. When money was still money, talking about 2006 or thereabouts. But you know, the more he prayed about it, the more, in fact, he went for the whatever, he had started the process. They have already employed him, started the medical and all of that. But he kept praying and his heart was on arrest. And he went back and he turned that arrest. I said, hey, the job people were dying to get. But he prayed about it. Everything appeared fine. For a fresh graduate collecting up to 200k as at then when Buhari was not in power. Amen. When Nigeria had not gone on recession, that is the job everybody wants to do. In fact, when he tendered his letter of I know they do, people said, guy, are you insane in this? But you know, he prayed about it. But do you know that it was after some time, banks began to have problems. Am I correct? In fact, a lot of people that got that job, after some time, they were laid off. How many of you remember when this? He would have been part of that man's sack. And you know, because the bank job and he was an engineer, that would have not helped him professionally. Am I correct? He would not be looking for engineering job. They would check his CV. The last place he worked was at Intercontinental, but we don't want you. But God knew what will happen tomorrow. God saved him from me today. Hallelujah. The Bible said there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of that way is a way of perdition. Can we talk to God this morning, Lord? I receive a baptism of wisdom this morning. The wisdom to assess the kind of job that you have ordained for me, and the wisdom to be able to know what it is that you have planned for me. I receive that wisdom. I will not fall for the wrong job. I want us to declare in this month of August, my steps are ordered by the Lord. Open your mouth and begin to pray. I hear in my spirit, I am ordering the steps of my people. Oh, it's because I've talked about you have to be careful, you have to be cautious. Some of you, maybe you are afraid, but God is saying, don't worry, I will hold your hand. Don't worry, I will order your steps. Don't worry, I will lead you in the right place, in the right job, at the right time, right way, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I receive a divinely ordered step. It is possible you get a job before you finish school. It is possible you get a job before you finish service. God has done it for others before, He will do it for you. Begin to receive the miracle of divinely ordered steps. Begin to receive the miracle of divinely ordered steps. Begin to receive the miracle of divinely ordered steps. Begin to receive the miracle of divinely ordered steps. Begin to receive the miracle. I hear God say divinely ordered steps. God is ordering your steps. Divinely ordered phone calls. Divinely ordered internet browsing. Divinely ordered visits. Divinely ordered visits. Divinely ordered steps. Divinely ordered moves. We receive in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. God says to tell me to call down. God says to tell me to call down jobs for people. So, and that's the last thing I'm doing. I'll drop the mic. Give our friend and we are done the first service. So, but I need you to say amen. Because that's what I hear God say to me. Call down what? Jobs for people. Call down opportunities. Some of you, maybe job is not what is always on your heart. Maybe it's scholarship. Scholarship too, not some kind of job. Because they will pay you money. Am I correct? You are advancing your career. Money is entering your pocket and that your life is moving forward. I want to declare today as God's servant. Over this church, over this congregation, over everyone connected to this ministry, I call down new jobs. I call down new opportunities. I call down new openings. Better jobs, better openings, better opportunity. I hear God tell somebody they will send for you.
Joseph was in the prison and they sent for him in the palace. He never applied. They sent for him. I declare over somebody today, they will send for you. In this month of August, I call down new jobs, better jobs, bigger jobs, greater jobs, new opportunities for business people, open door of businesses. I call it down in the name of Jesus. Receive it now to the praise and glory of the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. For those who want to advance their career, academics, I call down new scholarships. Listen to me, scholarship is not by struggle. There is a factor of grace. I call them down now. As everyone listening to this message anywhere in the world and you are believing God for scholarship opportunities, including those of us who are here, I call them down in the name of Jesus. So shall it be. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Did you get something this morning? Wow, I'm super blessed, super blessed. Let's lift our offerings as we bring the service to a close. Between now and 10 o'clock, we'll go to our live class, membership school oaths in the pastor's office. Then by 10 a.m., don't miss the second service. Second service, I'll be teaching you trigger.
We know that this message has been of tremendous blessing to you. For information on how you can get more of our messages and ministry materials, or how you can partner with us to bless more lives all over the world, kindly visit our website www.destinyimpactchurch.org or call the following numbers: 0803-832-8650 or 0809-462-8743. Thanks and God bless you. Destiny Impact Church, empowering destinies. Jesus is Lord.